frequencies in Cascadia and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
Yeah, Air Cascadia coming up next on The Boo, KBOO Portland, your community radio station. We're about 15 minutes away from kicking off Flashpoints. That today features part two of a speech given recently by radical economist Richard Wolff. And the Electronic Intifada returns with its latest podcast, hosted by Nora Barrows-Friedman. At 11 on Between the Covers, we speak with Diane Lebeck about her new novel, Breaking Wild. The story features two strong women characters, one lost in the woods of Colorado and the other obsessed with finding her. And at 11:30, the film show features Ethiopian director Yared Zelecki, whose film Lamb is featured at the Cascade Festival of African Films. Festival coordinator Rana Neuenschwander provides a preview of the event. And filmmakers Lara Gallagher and Don Jones Redstone preview this year's POW Fest, where their films American Gladiators and Sista in the Brotherhood will be featured. Coming up next, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Stick around, that is up next on KBOO. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate today.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor In a Time of Extinctions, a call to life Saturday, February 27th, 7 p.m. at the Central Lutheran Church in Portland. In a Time of Extinctions, a call to life is a benefit concert for 350 PDX, the local chapter of 350.org. The concert will feature vocalist Kathleen Dean Moore and concert pianist Rochelle McKay performing a program of words and music. Again, that's In a Time of Extinctions, a call to life Saturday, February 27th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Central Lutheran Church, 1820 Northeast 21st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, February 25th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Today's guest, Michael Paul Hill, with an Apache Nene working group, was there at the time that Oak Flat protest first began. His story is extraordinary. It comes also on right on the heels of another story. This week, of course, will mark the one-year anniversary of the occupation of Oak Flat by members of the Apache stronghold and allies in the political battle to protect sacred Native American land. In the fall of 2014, Arizona Senators John McCain and Jeff Flake teamed up in a subterfuge to underhandedly attach a land swap measure, the Southeast Arizona Land Exchange and Conservation Act. Sounds good, right? The only thing they left out is the word green. To a must-pass, this was added to that must-pass National Defense Authorization Act bill, which 2,400 acres of Apache holy land in and around Oak Flat Campground near Superior was covertly exchanged for 5,300 acres already owned by, wait for it, Resolution Copper. That's right, mining interests. This past Friday, McCain spoke at Arizona State University and the Thunderbird School of Global Management. But he was, of course, he was interrupted by a Native American student who had serious questions for the good senator. of course, is still in play. It's still in court. And we'll see what the outcome of that is. We have a lot of other issues to talk about. There's a bill here in Oregon on Oregon's housing affordability crisis. And don't forget that the Right to Dream 2 is moving soon to a new home on the east side of the river. That's good news, but the bad news is that the new site is in a heavily industrialized area where mystery fumes will inevitably soon bloom. And then there's the issue of city ordinances arising from December's torrential rains. You just have got to either provide shelter, and if not, at least allow people to create their own shelters. So all of that said and done. A reminder, too, that Lana Jack is still one of the last remaining Celilo YM tribal members to take a stand on behalf of her dwindling people. If that tribe, that nation dies out, we've lost yet another, permanently lost another element, a living element of our cultural trust. A people's legacy will vanish from the earth. So we've got all those numbers too, where you can write to Secretary of the Interior and plead Lana's case. It's important. We now have Michael Paul Hill on the line with us, joining us today. Thank Michael, I can't tell you how happy I am to welcome you to the KBOOA airwaves. Hi, good morning. Are you there?
Morning.
Good morning. Just want to note to listeners, this almost happened by accident. It's almost as though it was supposed to happen. I was expecting another guest one last, I believe, Monday, and I was absolutely knocked sideways, and I ended up talking with Michael. So thank you so much. I want to ask you about Oak Flat. We had a discussion this morning, brief conversation about that, and I want to invite you to take that up again so listeners can have some insight and understanding of what really happened, what really went on at Oak Flat. Whatever you have heard, even in well-meaning left-wing circles, listeners, the real story is different, and Michael is here to tell us what happened.
Okay, well, I will go ahead and talk about Oak Flat. We have been, and I say we because even though I put myself out there, there's a whole bunch of other Apaches that are behind the restoring of our land and our sacred sites. This is important. Just as you mentioned, if these tribes are exterminated from Mother Earth, then we have a big problem in the world. And then And let's not be subhumanizing peoples as tribes either. Let's be real and let's talk about the people, because there's a reason why the U.S. Constitution says we, the people. The people is the name that all indigenous peoples, all native peoples, all first inhabitants of North and South America go by. For example, Apache is just a colonial name that came from Spanish that refers to us as enemy. That comes from the Nahuatl language, op, which is enemy. And we remember the Nahuatl people, everything is about language. Nahuatl people are down there in Mexico City. So Apache, that is the colonial terms, Ndeh, or Tindeh, or many others, Dene, all of these different tribes that are along the mountains in North and South America, all the way from Alaska down to the South, are all related to one another, and because of the language stock as well. So that means the people, Dene, the people. So I am Ine, actually. And then of the greater part of the Ndeh people.
Mea culpa. Sorry about that. That is, in fact, a very, very good reminder. It is about language. And the white colonialists, of course, that's one first step in conquer or subjugate a people is to mess around with language.
So let's real quick again mess around with language, because ultimately the National Defense Authorization Act, which the acronym NDAA, if for us, if we pronounce that out, NDAA, in Apache that word means Nda. You say Nda. Yeah. It's a long A, Nda, and that word Nda means enemy. Isn't this quite interesting?
Yes, it is.
Acronym is called enemy in our language, and appropriately so, because most of the technology, the military technology has, or not even the technology in military, the cyber technology, many technologies, the art of warfare has come from the so-called Apache people, which are actually the Ine, which means the people. So let's go back to Oak Flats now. And Oak Flats was, a vision was received there in about the year 2004 or 5. And accordingly, as I myself personally was going to school down in the Salt River Indian Maricopa community at the Scottsdale Community College there, I started to feel these callings to these mountains, because from San Carlos Reservation to Scottsdale is like 120 miles one way. And so that took me along the old Apache trails of bartering and trade that existed along the highway, right, which the US 60, which is where Oak Flats is a part of, along that trailway. And as I'm coming down from Phoenix, East Phoenix, would go through Scottsdale, a little bit of Phoenix, Mesa, or Tempe, Mesa, Apache Junction, and out into Florence, Superior, Globe, and then to San Carlos, just to give you a descriptive outlook. And then through there, a vision was given in 2004, I believe, and there a spirit that appeared to me, and it was one of our mountain spirits that that has a color of red painted upon them. And that color of red for our people is healing, curing, the things that are associated with the life way, the pollen, all of these things, the West, actually. And so in this area, they say there is a place which is called Gan Da Sazin, the place where the mountain spirits stand to the west. And so it's like where they're standing at. And so this has been also a place for a certain clan, Sinaia, I believe. And this clan, Sinaia, has been living there since the early 1880s? 1880s, they were removed out of this area and the Superstition Mountains area in order for America, America, Ame, love, Rica, riches, America to pursue their manifest destiny and to exterminate us Apaches out of the area, because we are actually the true landholders of this place, in which our Aboriginal title has been put up for view within the Papal Bull's our report that we gave to the International Committee on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination this past November. So our history is out there. Everybody knows it. It's just the way that people are perceiving it right now.
Wait, before we get into that, my show is over. They just I'm not allowed, I can't continue. But I want, if we're going to be talking about this tomorrow. We're going to take up the issue of Oak Flat. We're going to hear the real story. That's all on Air Cascadia. Michael Paul Hill is an extraordinary fighter in the struggle to reclaim the original rights. People are part of the